those of you following in our studies in 2 Timothy, we are in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. And there are pictures of ruins on the cover taken by my friend Aaron Locker with his own camera when he was in the actual city of Ephesus, or should I say the site of the city of Ephesus. The subtitle of Clyde's book is Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter to the church. And for those of you following along, I hope all of you have bought this book. If you haven't, go to studyshelf.com. We're on page 58. We're going to talk about the secret of Paul's gospel. What? God has secrets? Yes, he does. God is not a liar, but he withholds information. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm not a liar, but I do withhold information. Well, God withholds certain information about the grace that is within him until a certain time. And he unloaded the mother load of grace upon the head of the foremost sinner, which was Saul. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Thank you for joining me in these delicious studies of the grace of God. And it's delicious because few of us have ever heard anything so good, and it's hard for people to trust anything so good. And isn't it right when you eat a cake or you eat fudge, oh, this has to be bad for me because it tastes so good, right? Everybody says that. Well, unfortunately, God doesn't work that way, but people think that. It's too good to be true. How come I never heard this? Well, it was a secret. You're not going to read about these truths in 2 Timothy or in any other of Paul's letters from reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The worst thing you can do, you'll read about some great things there, but not about the depths of the grace of God. Jesus didn't reveal that. The worst thing you can do to somebody, I think, well, besides, you know, kill them. Well, killing them might be better. Hand them the Bible and tell them, here, read this. This will help you. Killing them would be better, I think. Death is to be preferred over reading parts of the scripture that are not how God operates today. You might go to the law of Moses in Leviticus and find out that if you work on Saturday, you will be stoned. That's not good news. But that, for a time, that was the news. But there was a secret that God had that he kept for eons hidden, and he revealed it to Paul. So I'm going to go to Romans 16:25. Yeah, we're still in 2 Timothy, but we're going to borrow from other scriptures here because we just are, because I decided that's why. So, actually, I didn't. I'm following the guide here of Clyde's book, Romans 16:25. Now, to him who is able to establish you, and I'm talking to you who are listening to me, God is able to establish you in accord with my evangel, not me, Martin Zender, but Paul. Paul calls it my evangel. How could he dare say that? Because it was given to him and no one else, and he passed it on to faithful men who were faithful to teach others. And to him who was able to establish you. I can't go on. I keep having to stop here because this word establish is hugely important. We need to be established in this. We need to hear it over and over and over again. And Paul did this. He traveled all over the place and he told people about it. We want you to be rooted and grounded in the truth because, again, there are so many things that can distract you. To him who is, I'm in Romans 16:25. To him who is able to establish you in accord, in agreement with my evangel and the heralding of Christ Jesus in accord with the revelation of a secret hushed in times aeonian. In eons past, this secret was hushed, yet manifested now and through prophetic scripture. These are Paul's own writings. They became prophetic scriptures. According to the injunction of the aeonian God, being made known to all nations for faith obedience to the only, the wise God through Christ Jesus, be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. Why is this called a secret? Why is this called? Because it was totally unknown until it was revealed. Now, the King James there will read mystery, the mystery of the gospel. That's a wrong word. I know it's based on the Greek word mysterion, but a mystery is something you can never understand. You know, when you try to explain to somebody that the Trinity can't be true, and then they try to tell you how three can be one, and you say, well, that doesn't make sense. How can three be one? And they say, well, it's just a mystery. In other words, you're not supposed to think about it. That's why I don't like the King James translation of the secret of the gospel. They call it the mystery, but it's not. A mystery is something you'll never understand. A secret is something you won't understand until it's revealed. The only reason nobody gets it is because it hasn't been revealed. But when it's revealed, it's as plain as day. And there's a fellowship around this. And you and I are fellowshipping around this truth. You and all those who are hearing this message of Paul. I'm going to go to Ephesians 3, verse 9. We're going to see the similar themes. I'm going to read to you verses having to do with a secret. And I think this is exciting, to be initiated into a secret. And these truths that we're reading to you today, these are still a secret to almost all of Christianity. They don't know about it. They don't know how pure it is. They don't know how important it is to understand it. I'm in Ephesians 3, 9. This is the message committed to Timothy. I'm relating this to 2 Timothy. This is what Paul told Timothy to guard. What was so difficult in that day, and this is weird, really. You can understand how it was a secret in that day, because Paul was the first one to get it. The secret revealed to me. If I have time here, I'm going to look to other scriptures in Galatians. But in Ephesians 2, in Ephesians also, Paul says, "To me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations." So I can see how it was a secret back then. It was just then revealed. But this is the strange thing. This secret was revealed 2,000 years ago to this guy, Saul, on the road to Damascus. But it's been in the Bible for 2,000 years now, and it's still a secret. Now, that almost seems inexcusable. It's excusable in the first century. I can understand why Peter never heard of it, because it was an absolutely hushed. We just read that in Romans 16. Hushed in times aeonian, yet now revealed. We're going to see Paul says this again in Ephesians 3:9. Yet now revealed. Well, his now was to us 2,000 years ago. And so how does God continue to hide this? How do we continue to not know about it? I'll give you my thoughts on it. I got two thoughts on it. Certain thoughts. I have thoughts. Certain thoughts. Very certain thoughts. First of all, God, like the kingdom, when Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom, you know, God purposely hides it from people. He blinds the apprehensions. And actually, Paul says, I'm going to give it to Satan. I know all is of God, but Satan blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. This is in Colossians 1, I think, or it might be in 2 Corinthians 4. I don't know. Read all of Paul's letters. You'll find it. I'll find it for you here in a minute, along with a million other verses I have to give you. Satan blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. So Satan is at work screwing this up royally. It'd be so handy if Paul's letters were at the end of the Bible after Revelation. So the curtain closes on Revelation. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in the book of Revelation. And now a completely new thing coming to you from the pen of Paul. And so a new curtain comes up, like Act 2. You've already had your popcorn. The book of Revelation is over. You've been through Genesis to Revelation. The curtain closes. Please join us in 10 minutes. And you go on intermission, then the lights flash, you come back to your seats. Welcome to an entirely new program. Forget everything you just learned in Act 1. You know what? Everybody would have to clear the theater. That's how dramatic this is. This isn't part 2 of an intermission, Paul's letters. This is what has to happen. Thank you for joining us. And the curtain closes on the book of Revelation. Everybody clears the theater. Please clear the theater. Everyone, go, get out. You clear the theater, and then a wrecking ball comes. Everybody's still outside. This wrecking ball comes in. Beep, beep, beep. They demolish the theater. And then they build a new one. They feed the people out. They're still out there. They feed them lunch and dinner and all that. They build really fast. And then you come into a completely new theater. And that's what we're talking about here. But because Paul's letters are in the middle, in between Acts and Hebrews, it throws everybody off. But, you know, the last thing God has to say is not in the book of Revelation. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul takes us far beyond what was spoken of in the circumcision gospel. So I'm going to go to having said all that, Ephesians 3:8. I already quoted some of this from my considerable memory. And now we're going to go to read it in the actual scriptures here. To me, because I'm sure I left out something important. Ephesians 3:8, to me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel, the good news, of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. The King James says unsearchable there. That's a bad translation. It's untraceable. In other words, you could not trace this truth in the Old Testament. That's why I feel so sorry for Paul. Paul's saying he's got these great new revelations of God's grace. You don't have to be baptized anymore, people. No, you don't even have to observe the Sabbaths. What about new moons? No, not them either. What about days and seasons and weeks and months and years? No, nothing. Surely we have to be baptized? No, you don't have to be baptized. Well, I've got to be circumcised on the eighth day? No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. What about going? No, shut up. Nothing. You don't do anything. This is the great. It's untraceable. Where'd you find this information, Paul? Well, I don't have any scriptures for you. Why not? Well, it's untraceable. This sounds highly suspect. Well, I was given this directly. Oh, really? How did that happen? Well, Jesus Christ appeared to me. Oh, Jesus Christ himself. Well, yes, he came down to me and then he spoke to me in the desert for several months. Oh, he did. Did you have a nice cup of coffee with him, I suppose? Yes, we did. We had a very nice time of fellowship. And he told me things that were never revealed to any human before. I guess that makes you pretty special. Yes, it does. In fact, to me, less than the least of all the saints was granted this grace to bring the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations and to enlighten all, including you people, to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret. The secret has an administration and an administrator. There's a specific period of time set out for this truth. It's called an administration. And the administration has an administrator, and that's Paul. The administration of the secret. Oh, you have a special secret. Yes, I do. And if you'll be quiet long enough, I'll tell it to you. Which has been concealed from the eons in God. Oh, okay, so nobody ever heard about this. It's been concealed from the eons all this time, and now you're getting it. Yes, but not only me, but those who hear my words. I'm going to write this stuff down. I have a nice little scribe who has supple wrist. He can write very quickly. I'm going to dictate several letters to him. And by some miracle, these letters will be preserved and passed down to people like Martin Zender. Now you're going too far. No, the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid are going to get this. The intelligent, those who are smart in our own eyes, those who are religious, those who love the show of the falseness of performance, doing right things. No, they're not going to get it. The losers of the world are going to be the leaders of the next world. All right? Now, this has been concealed, what I just told you, from the eons in God, who creates all, by the way, in case you didn't know him. Which God? The one who creates all? That one? Yeah, that's the one who revealed this to me. That now, verse 10, Ephesians 3, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials. Certainly you're not talking about the powerful beings who created the universe. Yeah, that's them. They're very interested in what I'm doing, says Paul. They're watching in on this, and they're learning something about the grace of God through this message that I'm dictating in my room to my scribe named Tertius. T-E-R-T-I-U-S. That's the name of my scribe. It's me and it's him in a room. And I'm talking my brains out. And he's writing it down. And then I said, well, that's all I got to say about that. He rolls it up. There's one copy. And I tell him to take it to the church in Rome. Or take it to the church in Ephesus. And by some miracle, we have this. And it was a secret, but it's not anymore. But it is to most of humanity. And if it is being revealed to you, then you are among the most blessed on this planet. Because even though it is as plain as day, it is being positively hid from most of humanity by confusion, by lies, by subterfuge, by religion. Especially religion is Satan's greatest tool against this truth, because religion makes people think they are worshiping God when in fact they're worshiping themselves. Religion makes people say words like grace and salvation and not mean them. And that's a tricky trick. And that's Satan's greatest field of endeavor. And so my prayer for you, I'm going to have to finish these verses tomorrow. My prayer for you is that you would be delivered from the stratagems of the adversary and that you would come to a realization and a revelation of this truth. I can exhort you to turn to the right passages of Scripture. I can tell you to read Paul's letters and pretty much forget the rest. Because we're in an emergency situation here. The era is near end. And I feel like a 911 guy. What do you call him? Ambulance dude. Emergency crew. I'm giving you, there's no time for messing around with Leviticus and Exodus. Paul's letters are the truth for today. And I want you to be established in them. I want you to be rooted, grounded, founded, immovable. And I'll do everything I can to keep you there. I can't do anything about it except through the power of Christ. But the fact is, he uses certain people to do certain things. And I'm going to guard this thing. And I'm going to keep all the extraneous crap from it and try to bring it to you purely, as Paul would have it. So we're a fellowship, we're a ragtag fugitive fleet, and we're being prepared for a great thing. And again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'm happy to be here with you in this capacity. Continue to love one another, speak words of truth to one another, and let the word of God dwell in you richly. Amen.